Thanks for joining us today. At City Life, we have one purpose, making it easy for people to say yes to Jesus. We believe today's message will empower you to do exactly that. But remember that church is so much more than a sermon you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life.
My name is Jennifer Blackwood, and my husband and I actually get to be part of the team. We are in Edmonton at our second location of City Life Church at the West Edmonton Mall Movie Theater. And I know a lot of you have visited us there, and it's so lovely that we get to be part of a big family and that we get to share in reaching the region of where we live, and that's what God has called us to do. So it's so great to gather together this morning. And Father's Day is a great day to celebrate. Men in general, you know, men who decide that, you know, they're going to lead and take on even the characteristics of their Heavenly Father and be able to lead people into truth and in belonging, or gathering people in belonging, and how impactful that is. And I was thinking about it yesterday. It really hit me. You know, I feel like fathers sometimes carry the weight of their world on their shoulders. Not that women don't, but lots of times dads feel like, man, if I don't get this right, people aren't going to eat. No one's going to have what they need. My kids are going to be irreversibly screwed up if I don't get this right. But the truth is that we all need to look to the one and only number one dad, and that is our Heavenly Father, because He rights all the wrongs of where we wrong. You know, where we end up, where we fall short, He makes up the difference. And so God is so good, and I just want to encourage you dads to look to your Heavenly Father, to lean into Him, because He will make up the difference. My parents always prayed, God, make up the difference. Because the truth is as a parent, you're just like, I mean, you try and make, you know, be intentional, but at the end of the day, it's like people make their own choices, and so you just have to trust that God is good, and He cares about His kids, and about your kids, and about your family, more than you do, and so rest in that today. And this morning on Father's Day, it's fitting, and actually the schedule was rearranged so that this message would happen today in this place. It wasn't originally scheduled, so I believe that God actually has a word that you need to receive this morning that's very valuable, that you need to take on and take with you from this place, and just a new definition of even how you see family. And that's what we're talking about today. So for some of you, it's like, family, oh, I love family, that's so great. And others, it's just like the hair on the back of your neck stands up, or you feel a little sick to your stomach. That is something that I hope that you will be encouraged, that you can walk in a new type of family that does make you excited. And the definition of family is parents and children who live in the same household. It's also defined by people who have are descendants of a common ancestor, or a group of people who share DNA, which is why we refer to the family of God, or this house is a family. We are a family because we share DNA, and we have our DNA kind of all over the walls and also on our service intro, and it's who we are. And if you've never heard it before, come a bit earlier and you'll be able to hear it. It's so good. And those are parts of you. This is your family. There's a place to belong. One of our core values is you can belong before you believe. And so even if you don't yet believe in Jesus, there is a place that you can belong here in this family. And God actually set this in motion. He actually says in Psalm 68, verse 6, that He sets the lonely in families. He wants each one to have a place where they can feel connected, where they can feel a sense of belonging. And we trust that you can find that here in this house. God created man and woman to be able to actually create family out of them. Like, that was His design. It's so incredible. And when I have these conversations with my 10 and 11 and 12 year old daughter, the biology of it, it's just like their minds get blown. It's like, I understand. Okay, there's like the sperm and there's the egg, but how does the sperm get to the egg? And it's like, does it jump through the belly button? It's just like, you know what? We got to have a conversation. So we get real and we explain the great joy of life and how it all works. It's wonderful. And you can choose as a parent how you want to have those conversations, but we just make it real. Because God designed us that way. He designed us to actually be able to bring about life and then be in charge of it, which is like, wow, that was great. I think, you know, it's like, okay, yeah, you, Jen, you are going to raise 3 daughters and 1 son. It's like, what? Yeah, train them to follow Jesus. It is not easy. I always say to people, you know, making children, super fun. I loved, like, carrying babies, loved it. I always felt great. Giving birth was just like, oh, it was so empowering. And then raising them and training them, wow, that is where it all falls apart. I'm just like, oh no, I was doing so well. But just like John Bloom says, so put alienated, selfish sinners together in a home, sharing possessions and the most intimate aspects of life, having different personalities and interests, and a disparate distribution of power, abilities, and opportunities, and you have a recipe for a sin mess. You know, even doing premarital counseling, and it's like, you know, putting 2 imperfect people in a relationship together and expecting perfect harmony. It's kind of like, okay, here's 2 cups of dirt and a cup of water and a sprinkle of gravel and mixing it all up, throwing it in the oven and expecting a chocolate cake. Like, it just is not going to happen. It's like, oh, this is terrible. But the beauty of our Heavenly Father is that He can actually, out of dirt, create beautiful life. And that's what we look to as we're looking for a family that now has been transformed. Oh, yeah, I didn't mention my shirt. This is my family shirt. Jaden made it. She did. She designed it, and I thought it was so cute that they got to design whatever they wanted on a t-shirt, and my oldest daughter decided to put our 6 names on it and some clouds. I was like, I'm wearing that. And she's just like, sure, of course you can. That's the beauty of growing children, is you can steal their clothes, but of course they steal yours too, so it works both ways. But family is something that has been through a little bit of ups and downs over generations. And I want to take you today through a little bit of a process with family, from the ideal to the real to the redeemed. And I don't know about you, but for me, ideal kind of looks like Ma and Pa out on the farm. You know, they're working together, and Ma's in the kitchen with her high bun, and she has her apron on. It's dusted with flour, and she's pulling a fresh apple pie out of the oven, and Pa is brushing down the horses in the back paddock, getting them ready for the trip to town to visit the friends and relatives. And little Timmy's in the backyard getting distracted by the frogs, trying to catch them while he's supposed to be getting kindling for the fire. And little Rosie's helping in the kitchen, sweeping up the mess and just looking up admiringly at her mother. Doesn't that sound idyllic? Oh, so lovely. And maybe your ideal is slightly different than mine, but we all have ideals of what family should look like. And when we look, even in the Bible, there's this ideal in Matthew 5:45. Since you are children of a perfect Father in heaven, you are to be perfect like Him. Perfect meaning whole, complete, fully mature, lacking nothing, all-inclusive, well-rounded. Well, that sounds about perfect. That sounds ideal. Idyllic. That's idealistic. Yes. Mm-hmm. And on the internet, we also see these ideals, even looking at quotes. Of course, there's lots of pictures, but quotes of a happy family is but an earlier heaven. They haven't been to my house at 4:00, I don't think, because it would not be heaven. A family is one of nature's masterpieces. Family is not an important thing. It's everything. Family means no one gets left behind or forgotten. Yes, I hope so. The only rock I know that stays steady, the only institution I know that works, is the family. Those are strong words, and maybe they're ideals. But I would say for most of us, we desire that there would be some rhythms in our home, or in our family even, that there would be a sense of order, a sense of taking responsibility and taking care of each other's needs and looking out for each other. That's what we desire, so that we can have a family where people do feel welcome and part of. But sometimes it feels like the ideal and the real we get smacked with sometimes of our humanity, of who we are. Even Ephesians 2, 1 to 3, where it talks about, you know, being dead in our sins and offenses, and that we can be so drawn in by customs and values of the world and can be leaning into that which is the earthly realm, the darkness that is in the earthly realm, and even the evil one who fills the atmosphere with his authority. He works diligently on those who are disobedient to the truth of God. For corruption that was in us from birth was expressed through the deeds and desires of our self-life. We lived by whatever natural cravings and thoughts our minds dictated, living as rebellious children. So that's sometimes what we see when we look around in our culture even. When we look at family, the real of family, it can look a real bit of a mess. And how there is so much that's going on. I mean, even family, when you look at statistics and that 1 in 4 children are raised in a home that don't have a father, that millions, there is many who are abandoned each year. There's an estimated 40 to 50 million abortions that happen every year, 125,000 per day. 45% of first marriages end in divorce, 60% of second marriages. The United Nations estimates 60 million children and infants have been abandoned by their families and live on their own or in orphanages. That's the real of our society. And we think, man, it must have been better back then. You know, in that time period, it was better back then. But when we read the Bible, we see that, you know, the first man and woman, the dude's like, yeah, it was her fault. Totally her fault. Oh, yep, the sin mess, yep, she did it. And the first two brothers, one killed the other because of his own jealousy and how, what a mess that was. A woman who is grieved over her infertility decides to give her servant to her husband so that they can have a child and it's going to be all better. And she's like, no, it messes with her relationship with the servant. And she hates that son, and also, you know, causes some tension in her marriage. A man who's reluctant to leave his sexually promiscuous city, he has to be drug out by angels, and just weeks later, he gets seduced into drunken incest with his daughters. Like, this is what's happening in the good old days. There's twins that are born to parents who favor one over the other, and the older son has no discernment, and he sells his birthright for a bowl of soup, and then marries a wild woman, and ends up being part of the greatest sibling rivalry in the world. A brothers who decide to sell their favored brother into slavery and then lie about it for 22 years. This is the good old days. Yes. A woman who disguises herself as a prostitute so she can get pregnant with her father-in-law. Yeah, it's just weird stuff. The said wisest man in the world marries 1,000 women. That cannot be a wise thing to do. It is not a wise thing to do. And he ends up losing his path from following God, and so do his kids after him. Rape, murder, jealousy, seduction, all of this is just the first book of the Bible. This is happening. And it's crazy. And we see that, like I said, in our families today. And even in this room, you know, each of us, we have family dynamics, some that are great, some that are messy. You know, divorce, that's very common. And separation, maybe you're on the brink of separation. Maybe you've been abused by your family that you weren't supposed to be. Whether it's sexually or verbally or emotionally, you've been treated unlike God wants you to be treated in your family. Childhood trauma that would take a whole Kleenex box for us to talk through. The stories of rejection and abandonment. Maybe you had too much discipline in your home or too little. Or there's habits that were part of your family life that you just can't shake because they were every day, all the time. And learning how to break through that real of what you know is real in your mind. And this real needed an answer. And that answer was the head of all families, and that is our Heavenly Father, the greatest Father, the number one dad. We needed him, and that's our number three. That's redeemed. We get to live in a redeemed world, a redeemed family. And they have a photo of my family or one side of my family. And this is my beautiful family at Sylvan Lake. You know, the outdoor picture where it's like you're doing laps to stay warm, but it's so worth it. You would know that, Jess. Instead of like in the basement or in the living room, this is way better. It was so worth it. And this is our family. And, you know, what's ideal about this family, it is not perfect, far from perfect, but what's ideal is that each one has said yes to Jesus, which is huge, and we continue to believe that each one will daily and forever say yes to Jesus. That's our greatest desire and what allows us to live the redeemed type of life. And what you can't tell about this, idyllic picture is my sister, who's the top there, the blonde in the middle. She actually was abandoned and disowned by her own family. And after years of being in our home through junior high and high school, she finally made it official when she was an adult that she joined our family. So she is now forever part of our family. And God sets the lonely in families and has put her there to be able to see her story unfolded differently than it would have been. And my mom, who's the middle of the picture, the matriarch of the family, a lot of the decisions that we've made have as kids has actually based on the choices that she made, the choices that she made before she had a family and through the process of having a family. My mom actually was sexually abused by her grandfather for almost a decade. And through that childhood trauma and the years after of making choices that aligned with feeling worthless and not good enough, she was lost and feeling quite far from ideal. And yet she met her Heavenly Father. She had an encounter with her Heavenly Father, and that changed her life going forward, and it also changed mine. And she met my dad, who also is passionate about his Heavenly Father, and seeing him as a dad and then seeing him as a grandfather has been a huge part of her healing. And it's all based on them serving and following their Heavenly Father, the best dad who got it all right. You know, none of us can get it all right, but she was able to see what was perfect and right, and that she had been redeemed and reclaimed. Her family had been reclaimed for Jesus and his purpose and the plan that he wanted to work through her, through us, because she said, this stops with me. And now I'm walking into a new redeemed family where I have said that Jesus is the head, that our Heavenly Father is the head of this household. The word redemption, I think, is so powerful because it means to be safe from sin or evil. It also means the action of regaining or gaining possession of something in exchange for payment or clearing a debt. And that's what Jesus did. When he came, he reclaimed you. He reclaimed your future. He reclaimed your family. Whatever your father looked like, whatever your mother looked like, whatever your family looked like, he said, you are mine now. And this is how a father and a family look. Because you are mine, you are now redeemed. And you have access to what I have given. And it's in abundance. In Colossians 3, it says, Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. So when Jesus rose, everything changed. There is a new type of family that now we get to be a part of. And this is why we are to yearn for all that is above. For that's where Christ sits enthroned at the place of power, honor, and authority. Feast on the treasures of the heavenly realms. See what you even don't see. See beyond what seems so real and in your face to what God has paid for. And that is the beauty and the life and living in his spirit, in his power. As Christ himself is seen for who he really is, who you really are will also be revealed. For you are now one with him in his glory. So now you get to live out a different type of reality. You get to walk in a way that maybe wasn't the family trend or maybe wasn't what was given to you or put inside you. You now run with a new reality, with a redeemed sense of family and of living, because that's what God has called you to. And we all have two different types of family. We have an earthly family, Jesus had an earthly family. And truthfully, his earthly family questioned who he was as well. They didn't believe that he was the Son of God until he died and was resurrected again. Then his brother James, who writes the part of the New Testament, he was redeemed and reclaimed for the purpose and mission of God's word and God's truth going out, because eventually he realized who Jesus was. And that's what we need as we walk into our earthly families. Maybe your family doesn't know Christ, or even if they do, you need a walk as a reflection of what Jesus has done and who he says you are. And you don't know whose salvation is attached to your obedience in your family, walking out a redeemed life, when they're like, why are you okay with that? Why are you still filled with joy and being able to carry that redeemed purpose into your earthly family? We also have a heavenly family. Romans 8:15 says, "And you did not receive the spirit of religious duty, leading you back into the fear of never being good enough, but you received the spirit of full acceptance, enfolding you into the family of God. And you will never feel orphaned, for as he rises up within us, our spirits join him in saying the words of tender affection, 'Beloved Father, Abba Father, Daddy,' he is ours." As this corporate group, even as a family, we get to cry out and say, "Beloved Father, I need you. I need you to be able to carry out this life." And we are called to be brothers and sisters in God's family. It says in Hebrews 10, "Because of the blood of Jesus, we now share the same DNA." We are connected. I mean, some of you are like, "Oh, shoot." But really, it's to teach us stuff, to break stuff off of us sometimes. Iron sharpens iron. We need to be together and get us into that perfect that God desires for us, that we are working towards. Ephesians 2:9 talks about the fact that we are under construction. We are continually growing under his supervision. He is here always. He doesn't leave us, "Okay, try this and I'll be back." No, he's not like a teacher. "You see if you can figure this out and then I'll come and check on your work." God is here continually. He is watching us as we're continually growing under his supervision until we rise up completed as a holy temple of the Lord himself, Christ's body, perfect. This means that God is transforming us. Again, transforming. These are all works in progress. It is not done yet. We are working it out because we are part of what has begun with Jesus. Now we carry and are part of co-laboring, being part of the work that God wants done here. And he wants that to happen in your family, to see that reality, that heavenly reality in your home through the power of the Holy Spirit living in you. That's such a powerful, that's the end of the verse, through the power of the Holy Spirit living in you. We need his power. We need his word. We need his truth to be able to carry out anything that is not human. Has to be God. Like, it has to be anything good that comes from my life is because God is gracious and he has covered me by his grace and through his blood. And that's how we are able to live out the redeemed reality. And what does a redeemed family look like? Well, we gather. Hebrews 10:25 talks about we gather even more than we did before. We can't neglect meeting together because we need each other. We need to get together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge one another onward as we see the final of perfection that is to come. This story that we are now aligning our lives with, we need running partners. We need people who also remind us, encourage us, urge us that it's like, keep going. Remember, you are redeemed. Remember who has called you. Remember who has paid for you. Remember what is to come. And that is what we do when we gather together. We need the big family to raise our little families. We need each other, even with our children. You know, we dedicate kids to the Lord and we say, we stretch out our hands and we say, "I'll be part of that. I'll help you with that," because that is not easy. Raising a sinful human being to say yes to Jesus is just a real work of art. And it takes a lot of us together agreeing. And as a redeemed family, we carry his likeness. We have extraordinary character. We worship God. We pray together as a family. We give generously to the poor. We feed on the sustenance, which is his word. The word of God is a living word. It's actually meant to fill us and give us what we need to be able to keep working out this redemption of like, oh yeah, I have been redeemed. Great. And now I'm aligning my life with his word, not the world's words or even my mind's words, with his word. Because his word is what gives us what we need to be able to walk out this redeemed new reality. He is so good. And you know what? If you need a Bible, we have one for you. You can get one at the end of service. If you have YouVersion app, is a YouVersion app is what it's called, on your phone, there's plans for everything you can imagine. So valuable. Do it with someone. Keep you accountable. Keep getting God's word in you, because he wants you to walk in that redeemed type of family and redeemed type of personal reality. We also love. We love because he first loved us. It says in 1 John 4:19, and we tend and we teach as a redeemed family. In our households, we share God's word. We talk about God's word. We write it on our hearts. We talk about it when we walk along the road and when we get up and when we lie down. We are talking about God's word because it is a living word that brings life to the little, the middle, the old. All of us, we need God's word. And in our home, we actually have a tradition where we have a verse for the year for each of our children. And on their birthday, I have this verse, and I actually pray it over them as we do a blessing over them for their year. And this scripture, I prayed over Kea this year, and it just really hit me. It says, "You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Jesus Christ." And I said, "Kea, you have received God's word. You know God's word. You've memorized God's word. You've read God's word. God's word is constantly happening in your mind, but you have to continue showing up to it. You have to continue to seek it out, because that word is how you're going to continue trusting in Jesus for your salvation, because it is something that we continually, daily need to trust, that his goodness is there, that it is offering, it's offered to us, and that we have access to it. Start your children off in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. We pray that over our kids, that, you know, you're hearing it, you stack the deck, you keep stacking the deck, so that one day when they're making those choices that they're just feeling like, they feel that. I pray for the spirit of discomfort, and my mom used to always pray that we'd get caught. If we did something like stole something or did drugs or whatever, she just prayed, "Lord Jesus, I pray they get caught. I pray that there's a police officer on that corner where they are, so that they can be reminded, you are not this, you are this. You are a child of God. You are loved. There is so much more I have for you." And each one of you need to hear that and know that today. Through the power of the Holy Spirit living in you, you have been given this inheritance that you cannot even see completely yet. But I encourage you to trust, to lean into your Heavenly Father, to get to know him. Because as we know him, we start to get this resolve in us that it's like, you know what? No matter what my past looked like, no matter what my dad was like, no matter if he's in the picture or not in the picture, or if you have a great family life right now, if you don't, God says, "I will define that. I will say who you are. I will give you your true identity as a redeemed child of me, of him, the greatest father." Now, right now, I just want to encourage everybody to stand. Get those breath in your lungs. That's God. God is good. His spirit is here and his presence is here. You know, God inhabits, his presence inhabits the praises of his people. And we praise and we worship and we just stir up his presence. And his presence is here now. And I just want to pray over each one of you, because each of us have a family. Each of us have a home that we represent. We have our corporate family, and we need to align with our Heavenly Father, the greatest dad, to be able to work out a family that is right and under him and walking in his ways. So allow me to just pray over you this morning. I'm just going to pray. Jesus, thank you that you are so good. Thank you that you came as a son, and God, that you sent your son as the greatest father, as you sent your son to redeem each one of us, to claim each one of us as now part of your family. God, as we, if we align our lives and our story with you, we just have the greatest example to lean into. No matter what the past was, God, we say that that is done and that we need to heal through things, God, but that you are our greatest path to healing. God, you are the Father who is the catalyst to our healing, and we need you, and we lean into you, into your new reality, God, into the picture that you already have in your mind, the picture that already exists, God, that we press on towards, that we're part of making come about, God, and we just thank you. We pray for reconciliation in families where there is conflict, where there is disunity. I just pray that your spirit of unity, your harmony that can only be brought in the imperfection, your perfect that comes in, would just restore relationships. God, that there'd be wisdom for discernment, or wisdom for decisions that need to be made. God, for parents to have wisdom as they train and teach their children in the ways of you, God. And we just say right now that we are under your leading, under your great Father leading us, Jesus. And we say yes to you and who you are. In your name, Jesus, amen. We're going to pray again. I know I said saying yes to Jesus, but we're going to take a moment for those of you who have not yet said yes to Jesus, to be able to say yes to Jesus and to him as your Father. God is your Father, and he longs for you. He loves you, and he has extended his Son to be able to reclaim you back into perfect relationship with him. And that's what we're going to pray this morning. And I want you to repeat after me these words, and that they would be words from your heart of saying yes to Jesus and his family. Let's pray together. Thank you, Jesus, that you have come and reclaimed me. You've reclaimed my family and given me a new start. Thank you for forgiving me and giving me you as my Father. I say yes to you and your leading in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor as a church to play just a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to seeing you soon here at City Life.